The following audio is from Living Faith Missionary Church. More information about Living Faith can be found at www.livingfaithmc.info.
I am sure that if I was to ask, you know, to show of hands of anybody who's ever heard of Russell Edward Herman, that nobody would raise their hand. And that's okay, because I hadn't heard of him either. Russell was a very generous man. In fact, when he passed away, he left trillions of dollars in his will to people who he had never met. Now, I want you to imagine being one of those people that he left trillions of dollars to. See, the problem was that Russell didn't have trillions of dollars. He was just a simple, poor carpenter. And while Russell's beneficiaries never got the payoff from his will, there was this tiny little Ohio town. And I got to remember what it's called. It's called Cave in Rock. Now, I don't know if it's Caved in Rock or Cave in Rock. It was Cave in Rock. And that town was supposed to get $2.41 billion from Russell's will. And the mayor says, you know, it's a funny thing to have this happen. But the mayor knew that the money was never going to come. But I'm sure that he kind of started thinking about, boy, what would we do? What would we do with $2.41 billion? Dreaming about what it could be. Or could you imagine being one of the other people who he gave, he gave you $1 million. And dreaming about what you would do with it. And then realizing you're not going to get anything. Because poor Russell, he did not have the means to hold up his part of the bargain. He had great intentions, but he lacked resources to make them become a reality. And as I was reading this story, and I'm chuckling because I wasn't one of them, and I wouldn't want to be disappointed, but I think that, this poor man who could not live up to his promises, Jesus is not like that. Jesus has the means to live up to all the promises. And as we've been studying these seven churches of Revelation, and we've gone through all of them, we've made the rounds, we have visited every single church, all seven of those churches, and we've heard the stories, we've read about what they've done, and what they're doing, and what they need to do, and how they should be. And I think sometimes we kind of miss the promises that God and Jesus have given to these seven churches. So I want to kind of step back and I want to think about them, because these promises that Jesus has given to these seven churches, he has the ability to fulfill them. He has it. And the amazing thing about this is there's one caveat in this, and we'll talk about that, but he has the ability to help us with that, to make it possible for us to get the promises. Just a little brief note on what God is like. In Numbers 23:19, it says, God is not man that he should lie, or a son of man that he should change his mind. Has he said, and will he not do it? Or has he spoken, and will he not fulfill it? I mean, we are people, we love to make promises. I promise, I'll get that done. I'll do this. I find that in my home sometimes I have a tendency to, my wife will say, hey, I need this done, and I'll say, I'll get it done for you. Of course, her idea of getting it done is like now. My idea of getting it done is within the next 2 weeks. But I always try to fulfill that promise. Maybe not in her timing, but I try to be a man of my word. I try to teach my children. I try to teach Caleb, listen, if you say you're going to do something, you better do it. And you better do it with everything you've got. We had an issue yesterday. He was playing soccer, and he got mad. And he told the coach, don't talk to me anymore. I don't want to play anymore. Well, Dad doesn't let that sit still. I mean, I could hear him all the way across the field. So I walked around. I got up and walked around, and I got down on my knees, made him look me in the face, and I said, you don't say that, number one. And number one, I said, you're here to play soccer. You said you want to play soccer. You will play soccer, and you will do it to the best of your ability in the next quarter. And give him a choice. See, the problem is adults, we don't always have someone who comes along and says, you remember, you promised to do this, and you didn't do it. We don't hold each other accountable that way. We should. Granted, not necessarily the way I did with Kayla, because I was a little stern with him. I wasn't yelling. I was very calm, and I hugged him afterwards and said, I love you, and I want you to do this. But I think, you know, we don't hold ourselves accountable. But God is not like that. God is not a man that he changes his mind. He doesn't just say he's going to do something and not do it. And Jesus made promises to these seven churches in Revelation if they would do and be a certain way, they will get what Jesus has promised them. So I want to look at these promises. I want us to understand that these promises were not just for those churches. Those promises are for us too. And what an amazing thing to sit there and really think about these promises and what it takes to get them. Because there's only one thing we have to do to get these promises, and that's to become overcomers. But let's go back to the churches. As we made our rounds, the first church we came to was Ephesus. And in Ephesus, Jesus tells them that overcomers will get to eat of the tree of life that's in the garden of God. Now, I want you to understand, this is an amazing honor. This was one of the first things that happened to Adam and Eve when they sinned. God said, wait a minute, we cannot allow them to eat of the tree of life. Because what the tree of life does is, the tree of life keeps our physical bodies alive. This is the tree that Adam and Eve ate of in the Garden of Eden. It means our physical, we get a physical eternal life. Now, our souls live forever. We know that. We know souls are eternal. There's no death of the soul. But this is physical. And if we go back to Genesis 3, 22 through 23, then God said, behold, the man has become like one of us in knowing good and evil. Now, lest he reach out his hand and take also the tree of life and eat and live forever. Therefore, the Lord God sent him out from the Garden of Eden to work the ground from which he was taken. So Adam and Eve are sent out of the garden because, and they can no longer eat of this tree. I do not believe that anybody has eaten of this tree since then, because we haven't had the next resurrection. We haven't had what's called the first resurrection after Christ. I mean, this tree is waiting to be eaten. And overcomers will be the one who get the honor of eating this, of this tree, to live forever. Physically live forever in our new bodies. That's part of the reason why we never decay. The new bodies will not decay like our current bodies. All these aches and pains that we have every day are going to be gone, because we'll be eating of the tree of life and it will sustain us. What a great and amazing honor to be the ones who were going to eat of the tree that was taken away from Adam and Eve. Showing that it has been reversed. Jesus paid the price. And we, if we're overcomers, we'll get to eat of that tree. What an amazing promise. Then we traveled on to Smyrna. Smyrna. Jesus says that the overcomers will get the crown of life and not be hurt by the second death. And if you remember, we talked about how the second death, if we go further in Revelation, we'll see the second death is when those that are not believers in Christ are thrown into the lake of fire and are eternally separated from God. That's the second death. But we will get the crown of life. We will get the crown that means we will live forever. We'll have true life, the life that Jesus came to give us. If we overcome, we will not only have the eternal life, we will have the life here on earth that Jesus wants us to have. If we are overcomers. The great white throne judgments in Revelation 20:13 was where he talks about the second death. There is no second death for us. We die once, we're done. We live forever after that. But for those who do not know Christ, who do not accept him as their Savior, who do not have a relationship, who are not overcomers, will end up dying again by eternal separation from God. They'll be thrown into the lake of fire, the eternal hell that we talked about before this series. What's interesting here is I just want to take a brief moment and talk about this idea of overcoming. From a military standpoint, it means victor. The victor, the winner. That's what it means. It means the victor, the overcomers. There's a story, a great story from World War II, of these Germans were held up in a house. And we had men that were all around and were trying to take it. And they were being shot at. Our guys were being shot at, and they couldn't take the house. So this general comes up and says, brings the commanding officer up and says, "What's going on?" He said, "Well, sir, we can't take the house. We're being shot at." The general says, "What? You're in battle, son. You're going to get shot at. Let me show you how to take a house." So he takes some men around, takes some hand grenades, throws it in, and he takes the house. He says, "See, that's how you take a house. That's how you overcome. That's how you are the victor." It's a military term. We need to be overcomers. So we get the crown of life and we're not hurt by the second death. Then we traveled on to Pergamum. And Pergamum, what we find out is overcomers will get the hidden manna and the white stone with a new name on it. Now, we talked about manna. If you know your Old Testament, manna is what the Israelites fed on in the desert. God would provide manna every morning, and they would have to pick just what they needed for the day, because if they picked more than that, it would rot. So supposedly there is some hidden manna, and we find about this in Jeremiah. There's some hidden manna that's being waiting for us when Christ comes back. When the Messiah returns, we will eat of it. Now, there's a lot theologically in this whole idea of manna, the whole idea that God feeds us. He sustains us. It would sustain them for the whole day, and it was sweet like honey. They would eat it, and it would melt in your mouth. There's actually a place that makes it. It's almost like a marshmallow manna. I was going to get a bunch of it and bring it, but then you'd all be hyped up on sugar and, you know. But there is this thing called manna that they make. But it's not the same because only God made it. But he supplied it. So this idea that if we're an overcomer, that God will supply all of our needs, everything we need to sustain us. And then there's this idea of this stone. The stone. In the court system during that time, if you were given a white stone, you were innocent. So that's one part of it. You know, God has made us innocent. By the death of his son, we are innocent of our sins. They are no longer counted against us. But even more so, it's the stone that has our new name on it. Now, I believe that this name is the name that God had for you when he wove you together in your mother's womb. And it explains exactly who you are. My name is Christopher. It means Christ bearer. I believe that's my name. But I believe there's a different name for me that God plans for me, that tells people who I truly am. Isn't that amazing that God knows you so well that he has a special name that everyone will know who you are by that name? And he gives that to us on a stone. If we're an overcomer, that's awesome. It'd probably be the first time in my life I'm happy that somebody gave me a rock. You know? And it's not, I mean, and it may be a diamond. We don't know. It's a white stone. It may be a diamond. My wife kind of gave me a diamond. I paid for it, but she kind of gave me a diamond. I forgot to put it on this morning, but, you know, it's a rock that has my name on it. That God, only God knows what it is. And he chose it for me specifically. And I don't think any of us will have the same name. Imagine that. Not a single one of us will have the same name. If we overcome. And then we moved on to Thyatira. And overcomers will have authority over the nations, and they'll be given the morning star. We were talking about this. This was brought up in Sunday school today about the fact that, you know, God places rulers in place, and sometimes they're good, sometimes they're bad. He uses them no matter what. Nations and rulers come and go. They come and go. godless leaders, cruel leaders, unrighteous. This world is full of them. But we have one ruler who overcame the world, and that's Jesus himself. And we overcome the world also. Understand, this is talking about more than just, it's not talking about the millennial kingdom that we're going to rule with him, which we will. I think it's talking about right now. You and I can overcome the world. I mean, that's why we're called overcomers. Come on. That's what it means. We can overcome the system of this world. It doesn't mean that we're going to storm Washington and we're going to take over the United States. That's okay. I know, I see him right there. That's not what it means. It doesn't mean that we're going to usurp authority. It means that in our individuals' lives, we can overcome the things in this world that are pulling us away. Because Christ has already done it. I don't like riding on people's coattails. I would never be somebody's peep, you know. My peeps, you know, they're the entourage. I could never be an entourage. I don't like it. But you know what? I don't mind riding on Jesus' coattails. I really don't. Because he's got it right. He's overcome the world. He's overcome sin. He's overcome temptation. He's overcome these things that distract us and pull us away. We have the ability, by being an overcomer through him, to overcome the world. What an awesome thing to be promised to us. Not only that, on top of that, we'll be given the morning star. The morning star usually is Venus, and for those of you who know astronomy, and it comes up in the morning. It is the brightest star. So it's not really a star, it's a planet, but we call it a star. When we look at it, we don't know. Unless you're a nerd like me and love astronomy. But it's a morning star. Well, interesting is Jesus calls himself the morning star. We will get Jesus himself. Now you think, I got him now, what's the big deal? No, those that overcome the world will not only just get Jesus now, we will get him in the future. We will get him to where we know him and see him face to face. I may know you, you know, but until I've spent time with you, I don't know you, and you don't know me. But when we have Jesus, the bright morning star, we will know him, because it says you'll be known as you are known. We will know him intimately. He already knows us because he created us, but we will know him. We will know him so much. And the word is not biology, it's not bio. It's this idea of psyche. It's this idea that I know him in my heart. I don't just know of him. I know him intimately. It's awesome. What an awesome promise that's given to overcomers. Then we move on to the city of Sardis. And overcomers will get a white garment and their name not blotted out, and Jesus will proclaim their name before the Father and his angels. I mean, all three of these deal with salvation. I'll get a white garment. My sins will be white as snow. I mean, I have a white shirt, but believe me, it's not pure white. You can still see that it's not quite pure white. This garment will be so white, it will reflect God's light. It'll be shiny white. What a great thing to have. My name won't be blotted out of the book of life. We talked about that. It's not possible for us to lose our salvation that way. But this idea is it's a promise that I will never do it. I will never blot your name out. It can't happen because if we're overcomers, it won't happen. And then he will proclaim our name before the angels and before his Father. I don't know too many people who will stand in front of a group and proclaim my name. It just doesn't happen. I don't want it to happen. You know, I sit and I watch like sporting events or concerts, you know, and people are clapping and this roar is happening for this group because people are wanting to be entertained, or in sports they want to see these players, you know, compete. And I have to sit and wonder, if Jesus was there, would that be, if he was the one out there, would the crowds be as big? And would they be cheering as much as they're cheering? And I don't know. It's just something I think about. Not passing judgment on people who go to sporting events, or because I like them too. And I love concerts. I love to hear people people sing and perform. But I got to think that maybe that what we're seeing here is we see Jesus standing in the midst of heaven amongst God the Father and thousands and thousands and thousands of angels, and he's saying your name. He's proclaiming your name. And I think the name he proclaims is the one that only he knows. So it's not like he's going to say, Dean, I'm proclaiming Dean. And all the deans are like, well, which Dean's he talking about? No, he's going to proclaim a name that everybody will know. It's this Dean. It's this Nola. It's this Betty. It's this Aaron. It's this Pete. He'll know. They'll know. And they will praise God for you. Imagine that. What a great promise for those that overcome. Then we come to the city of Philadelphia. Overcomers will be pillars in God's temple. The name of God, the name of Jerusalem, the name of Jesus are written on him. Well, a pillar is a pretty strong thing. I mean, this is a great picture of all these, this ancient place, thousands of years old, a couple thousand years old, over a thousand years old. And the pillar is still standing. You look at places in Athens, you look at places in Turkey, the pillars are still there. It's a permanent fixture. Short of an earthquake, a really bad earthquake, it's still going to be there. And that's this idea. You will be a pillar in the temple of God. You will be a permanent resident in God's temple, in God's heaven. And God's name will be written on me in the name of Jerusalem, the name of Jesus. All these things, I belong to God. His name is on me. Now, understand, if it's actual physical and we're actually going to see it, we'll all have tattoos, by the way. I don't know how you feel about tattoos. I don't have any, but I have a feeling we'll have some and it'll be fine. Because it'll be God's name that's on me. It'll be the name of Jerusalem. I will be a permanent citizen. And you'll know it because I'll have the name of Jerusalem on me. And I'll have the name of Jesus on me. We will wear it proudly. But the pride will not be a bad thing. It'll be a good thing. Because we'll all be there. We'll be with us. If you're an overcomer, all the overcomers will be there. And you will know that they belong to God and that they are citizens of this place. What a great promise. And then we came to Laodicea. And the one promise we get is that overcomers will sit on Jesus' throne. I get this image in my head of we're all gathered and we're like, oh, there it is. There's the throne. That's Jesus' throne, you know? That's his throne. Isn't that awesome? And he says, come here. Come here. Have a seat. Sit on it. It's yours to sit on. Now, I don't think we'll, you know, you say, how long is eternity? I don't think we'll all be standing in line. Okay, I'm number 2,343,000,000. I get to sit on Jesus' throne. We'll all have that honor of sitting on Jesus' throne. It's not just sitting, though. It's ruling with him. Because, see, Jesus is the first overcomer. He overcame the world. He is first. And he is sitting on the throne today. And he invites us to come and sit with him. If the king says, you're at a banquet, and the king would come and say, hey, you know, this is what Scripture tells you. Whenever you go into a banquet, don't sit towards the front. Because if you're not the person of honor, the king will make you move. What you do is you sit at the place of dishonor. And then the king says, no, come forward and sit next to me. Sit next to me. Jesus says, come, sit next to me. Be with me. What an amazing picture. What an amazing promise. But first, we have to do what? What do we have to do? What's the word? Overcome. So we got to ask ourselves, man, how do we do that? If these are the promises, and believe me, this is just a minor part of the promises that Jesus has given us. There are thousands and thousands of promises in Scripture of what God is going to do for those who overcome this world, who are overcomers. And if you're in one of our small groups, this is what we're going to talk about this week is how do you become an overcomer? But number two, what are the promises that God has given us? Because we can rest on those promises. If I tell Caleb and Abigail, I say, listen, I promise you that if you're good, I'll do this. Now, it sounds like I'm bribing them, doesn't it? But what I'm trying to do, I'm trying to teach them that if they do something that they should do, that they know they should do, they'll get rewarded for it. There's been a few times I've said, if you guys do this, this is what's going to happen. And they haven't done it. And I've said, sorry, it's not going to happen. And they cry and they throw a fit. And I'm like, well, it's definitely not going to happen now. We try to teach our kids that if they try hard, if they work at something, that they will be rewarded for it. It's part of life. But how do we do this? How do we overcome? Well, if you remember, you probably don't because I didn't remember, and I preached it. 1 John, when we were in 1 John. 1 John 5, 4 through 5 says, for everyone who has been born of God overcomes the world. So first, we must be born of God. And this is the victory that has overcome the world, our faith. Who is it that overcomes the world except the one who believes that Jesus is the Son of God? Our first step to becoming an overcomer is we need to believe in Jesus Christ. And it needs to be a true faith because this is foundational. If you do not have that, if you do not have this true foundational faith that Jesus Christ is the Son of God and He is your Savior, the whole thing falls apart. It's foundational to being an overcomer that we have to have faith in Christ. It must be valid. No playing games. This is not a time to play games with our faith. It's either you are a believer or you're not. And if you are, then you need to become an overcomer. If we don't get this right, the whole thing tumbles. Philippians 2:12 says, therefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, so now, not only as in my presence, but much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. We need to work. We need to make sure that our faith is sure. Now, I know. I mean, I was a young child when I accepted Christ. But there are sometimes days I'm like, was that real? Was it just head or was it heart? Or was it both? And it's not that I doubt my salvation. It's that I want to make sure I work it out. I sit and say, okay, God, you gotta find if there's any way in me that's keeping me from being sure of my salvation. Work it out in me, Father. Work it out in me. We need to make sure that that's right because the next thing is overcomers are followers of Christ who successfully resist the power and temptation of this world system. James 4:7. Says, submit yourselves, therefore, to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. This world will lead you astray. This world does not want you to be an overcomer. It wants you to be just like them. One of the interesting things is where we were going through the Old Testament is we're seeing that, man, Israelites, they were set apart. They were set apart by God. And what do they want to do? They want to be like everybody else in everything they do. They want to worship other gods. They want to have their own king. They want to do it their own way. This world wants to pull us away from God, wants to pull us into a way that is wrong. Satan promises the best, but he pays the worst. He promises honor, but he pays with disgrace. He promises pleasure, and he pays with pain. He promises profit, and he pays with loss. And he promises life, and he pays with death. This world is... We need to overcome it, meaning that we need to not be tempted by the things of this world. Now, I'm not saying that we need to, you know, I've talked about this, and we need to get rid of our cell phones, get all rid of the technology. We need to use that technology to spread His gospel. But we need to submit ourselves to God, and we need to resist Satan in his temptations. There's different ways to tempt us. The world tempts us. Our own selves tempt us. Our sin nature tempts us. And Satan himself tempts us. We need to overcome that. We need to get past it. And we don't do it alone. We don't do it alone. Overcomers hold fast to faith in Christ until the end. They do not turn away when the times get difficult and become an apostate or become somebody who turns away from the faith. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. This is from Proverbs. And do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he will make straight your paths. God has a plan for you. He has a plan laid out for you. The problem is that we have our own plans. And we want to follow those plans. But God says, no, that's not the plan I have for you. We are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works that he prepared in advance for us to walk in. He wants us to do his will. That's how we become an overcomer. That's how we get all these promises that he gave these seven churches. And it requires complete dependence on God for everything. For our direction, for our purpose, fulfillment, and strength to follow his plans for our lives. Chuck said it great this morning. He says, you know, it's all about choices. You wake up every morning and you have a choice. You can either follow God or you can follow yourself. It's a choice you have. Which one's it going to be? Are you going to follow God or are you going to follow yourselves? And what we find out, we follow ourselves, we fall flat on our face. It may not seem that way at first. We may be able to go actually a couple days before things fall apart. 2 Corinthians 12:9 says, but he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly in my weaknesses so that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Paul's saying here that, you know, he'll provide a way. If we just trust him, he'll provide a way. There's a story of a grandfather. And he's at his house with his daughter and his grandson. And his grandson's in the playpen. And his grandson is in the playpen because his grandson is in trouble. He got in trouble. He did something he wasn't supposed to do. So mom put him in the playpen. So grandpa comes in, and the little boy says, Grandpa. Now, you grandparents, what would you do? What was the first thing you'd do? You'd pick him up, wouldn't you? So grandpa begins to pick him up, and then he gets the eye from mom. And grandpa knows, because he gave his daughter that same eye when she was young. His grandpa knows that someone's in trouble, and I can't pick him up. But man, what do you do? Grandpa's like, he's all torn up inside. I mean, the grandson wants to be with grandpa. But mom says, son needs to be in the playpen because he's being disciplined. So what does grandpa do? Grandpa climbs into the playpen with the son. Now put that image in your mind. First of all, my first thought is he'll never get out. Second of all, maybe he deserved to be in a playpen too. But don't you see what he did? What the grandfather did was the grandfather says, if I can't take you out of there, I'm going to come and be in there with you. And that's exactly what God the Father does. He says, I can't take you out of... Well, he could take us out of this world. Don't think he wants to. He's not going to yet. He says, I can't take you out. I cannot keep you from the things that you, choices you've made and the problems that you have because of it. I will not keep you from it. I will not allow you to sin and continue without consequences. I've taken away the ultimate consequence. I've taken away death. That's gone in Jesus. But there's still consequences for our sin because, believe me, what happens in Vegas comes home from Vegas. Okay? The world tells you it won't, but it does. See, God did not spare Paul and Silas when they were in prison, but he went to them. He didn't spare Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego when they were in the fiery furnace. In fact, he went into the fiery furnace with them. He didn't spare Daniel in the lion's den. He didn't keep him out of it. He went into the lion's den with him and closed the mouths of the lion. God comes into your life and helps you to be an overcomer. He gets into the playpen with you. Now, I want you to understand, first of all, that an overcomer is not sinless. It's not that we are without sin, because believe me, we do stumble, we do fall. But like I talked about last week, we are not practicing sin. We're not going back to the same sin over and over again and continuing to do it. If we're an overcomer, we may slip and fall. We may get angry when we're driving down the road and that person cuts us off. We may get angry. We may say the things we don't mean to say. We may not follow things correctly 100% of the time. But we're not living in it. We're not continuing to do it. We're not the dog that returns to its vomit. We're not sinless. But as believers, we have access to a power that created the universe. We have a helper who is God, who knows what it's going to take to get through this, to be an overcomer. And we need his help to walk us through our times of tribulation, our times of temptation, and to overcome them. Romans 8, 35 through 39. I love these verses. It says, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or danger or sword? As it is written, for your sake we are being killed all day long. We are regarded as sheep to be slaughtered. No, in all things we are more than conquerors. We are more than overcomers through him who loved us. For I am sure that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor rulers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. Even mom cannot separate grandpa from the little boy, from his grandson, so much so that the grandfather gets into the playpen. Jesus will not leave you. He will help you through all your struggles. And we're waiting for that main day when we're going to overcome, when we're going to be complete overcomers, and this world will go away. We'll have a new heaven and a new earth. There'll be no sin, no grief. And you're like, why hasn't it happened yet? Why hasn't Jesus come back? Why hasn't he taken us out of this world? Can we really trust what he has to say? 2 Peter 3:9 says, the Lord is not slow to fulfill his promises, as some count slowness, but he is patient toward you, not wishing that any should perish, but all should reach repentance. He is waiting for the right number of people that are going to be repentant and have salvation. It's about numbers. It's not about time. He is not slow. There's a story of two little girls, and they're sitting there, and they each have pennies. They each have 5 pennies, and they're counting them out. And the one girl goes, 1, 2, 3, 4, I have 5 cents. The other girl goes, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, I have 10 cents. The other girl says, no, you don't. You've got 5 just like me. She says, no. My daddy promised to give me 5 cents when he gets home. So I have 10. This little girl was so sure of the promise of her father that she knew she had it already. And she claimed it already. We have the promises of God that have been given to us as overcomers. We have the promises of God that he will make us overcomers if we wake up every morning and say, I'm going to trust in God today for everything. That's the promise we have. I will make you overcomers, and if you overcome, which I'm going to make you, these are the promises you have. We need to not grow weary. Galatians 6:9 says, let us not grow weary in what? In doing good. For in due season we will reap if we do not give up. We need to rest in God's word. we need to follow His commands that Jesus gives us to love each other and to love God with everything we have. We need to love each other with everything we have. Sometimes that means saying things we don't want to hear. Like, you made a promise and you didn't keep it. Because if we do that, if we love God and we let Him and we listen to His word and we wake up every morning and say, I'm going to follow God today and I'm going to follow Him everything, we will receive the glory and the honor and the blessings that Jesus not only promised to these seven churches, but all the blessings promised throughout Scripture that were given to us by Jesus and God. Those are the promises I'm resting on. As much as I talk about, sometimes I've talked about, you know, when I was saved, it was fire and brimstone preaching. Believe me, that might have got me down to the altar, but it was the promises of God that keep me at the altar. It's God's promises. And what a joyous thing to know that God has all these things planned for us as overcomers. I want to be an overcomer. But it takes me saying, I surrender it to you, God. Lead me where you want me to go. Let's pray. Father, we praise you. We praise you that you allow us to be overcomers. You allow us, Father, to rest on the promises that you've given us. Help us. Lord, we cannot do this on our own. On our own, we fall, we fail, we stumble. But with you, Father, we love you with abandon. We love each other enough to show it, so that the world will see that we are different. Help us to be overcomers and to rest on the promises and to lead us, Father, where we need to go. Not just in the big picture, but every moment of our lives, may we follow you with our whole hearts. Amen.
Thank you for listening to this message from Living Faith Missionary Church, located in Yoder, Indiana. Feel free to share this recording with others, but please do not charge for those copies or make changes to the content without our permission. For more information about Living Faith online, go to www.livingfaithmc.info.